Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, November the 9th, and we're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over the WSOF and WAJJ airwaves. Today is Sister Patty Ford's birthday, and I'd like to take this opportunity to wish her a happy birthday and hope that she enjoys her birthday today. We've been joking her yesterday about the fact that she's having another birthday this week, because last week we messed up with the bulletin and had her having a birthday last week. And so we announced it last week and then announced it again this week. So she's had two birthdays in the last 2 weeks. And hope she enjoys this one better. She gets to celebrate this one. She actually didn't get to celebrate the one we announced last week. But anyway, hope that she does have a good birthday today. Hope you have a good day today. And we're looking forward to this week. I tell you, we've got marathons scheduled for the end of this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here at the Temple Broadcasting Company. And we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do here in the marathon at WSOF and WAJJ. We're going to be trying to raise some money to get us on across through the end of this year and across the end of next year. And we're going to be talking about some things and some possible outlays, things we're looking at doing on down the road, not immediately, not trying to raise money for projects immediately, but just laying out some things that we're going to be looking at doing, and hope that people get on board with us and get excited about progress that's being made. And then also, we're having services during the time of this marathon, and look forward to that. Brother Bobby Van Giller, pastors down in Statesboro, Georgia, is going to be up this week and preaching for us on Thursday and Friday night at 7 o'clock, then also on Saturday at 3 o'clock. We're having a special 3 o'clock service, and then also on Sunday morning, he'll be preaching for us this week. So hope you'll pray for us about that. Of course, we've got regular service here on Wednesday, and you know, Wednesday's a holiday. It's Veterans Day. Hope you'll take time to tell a veteran thank you for their service, and that you'll show some support for our veterans. It's sad that we're living in a day when men, whether they be policemen or whether they be military men or whatever, men like that are being persecuted many times and being called different names that are not proper names and that sort of thing. They need to be shown some respect and some honor. By the way, people need to be treated with some respect and honor in our nation. Amen. We need to get back to showing a little bit of respect, and I believe God would bless that. But this disrespectful, this unthankful attitude that people have across our land is not being smiled on by the Lord. Matter of fact, the Lord was talking about His judgment and how it's going to get bad, and one of the things He said about that was that they were unthankful. We're living in that day, friend. We're definitely living in that day. But what I was saying is Wednesday is going to be a holiday. It's the Veterans Day, so the offices will be closed here at WSOF Radio. We will not be here in the office, but we will be having regular Wednesday night service that night. And so I'd like to issue you the invitation to come and be part of our services. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, and hopefully you can come and be with us. It'd be a real blessing to have you in our presence. We had visitors again last night. Brother Corbett, the one we call Junkman, came last night again and brought some children with him. We was glad to see those. And then all those that was in the house of God had my mother-in-law and father-in-law with us. Matter of fact, my mother-in-law sang a song for us, and it was a real blessing. And so I hope that you had a good day yesterday in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. Hope that you enjoyed your time there, and looking forward to this week serving the Lord and bringing Him glory this week. Well, we're going to get ready for prayer time here on the broadcast. Hope you will pray for us about this upcoming marathon and the services that we're having along with that. And then, of course, our services on Wednesday night as well. If you'll help us pray about those things. Also, I'd like for you to help me pray about my throat. You can probably tell that it sounds a little bit hoarse and raspy this morning. I go through this, those of you that know me know I go through this pretty regularly, especially when the weather starts changing like this. And I have some allergies, I think, but I'm actually making this recording pretty early on Monday morning, and so my throat's not got limbered up and all that, and it goes along. I did sort of stress it a little bit yesterday. I'm sure here in the house of God, but enjoyed doing that and don't regret it, not for a moment. Amen. But I'm trusting God will touch and help me as the day goes, that my throat will get just a little bit better. But I'd like for you to help us pray about that. Keep my wife in your prayers. She's been feeling well and thinking that God's blessing her and helping her. And she's believing that God's going to heal her from these problems that she's facing. But I do have several other special requests that I'd like to mention, some things that have come up to our attention in the last few days. I mentioned that Junkman was here last night. He asked us to specially remember his daughter and grandson in prayers and their need for the Lord. And he asked us to call their name and ask God to save them. So I'm going to give their names out. And I don't know them. I don't know them at any part. But I understand that they live somewhere in the state of Illinois. And so want to be in prayer for them. The lady's name is Karen Annette Cotton. And the young man's name, I think he said he was about 18 years old, is Zachary Thomas Cotton. And so we're praying for them. Junkman said they needed the Lord. We're praying that God would work in their life and do a great work of grace that would bring them to Christ, that they might know him in the free pardon of sin, that they might know the joy we know and enjoy Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Also, Brother James Ruckman's a missionary that we've supported here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, also supported at Vision Baptist Church. Brother Ruckman was used to start two churches in the state of South Dakota, and God blessed in those two churches. They're still going to the glory of God. Brother Ruckman resigned the pastor of one of those churches and moved to Africa this year and was there for a few months and saw great things. I mean, great things done for the work of God, but the devil got in it. And in that, when I say the devil got in it, really, the devil was allowed to get in something there, and there was a disturbance. So Brother Ruckman had to come back, him and his family, and they've been in a transition period and a healing time since then. And we've been praying for them. We still support them. We're going to continue. They said we could drop their support. They're not on the field now. They're just in a church trying to get some, you know, regain their footing and get some strength and direction from the Lord for these days. But we're going to support them to the end of the year and try to help them get on their feet again. But in the process of this, Brother Ruckman's youngest son, Micaiah, I don't know exactly his age, but just guessing, I'm going to say somewhere probably 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere in that. He's just a young man. He's a small young man for his age. And Micaiah has a problem when he was a child, a little bitty toddler child. Something happened in his brain, and I don't know exactly, don't know the details of it all. I remember when it happened and that it was a very serious situation, but they had to go in and put a shunt into the brain stem of his brain to allow some fluid to leak out of there to be able to dissipate. Well, in the process of time, in the last little bit, somehow that shunt has gotten clogged and it was not working properly. And so the doctors decided that he needed to have that shunt removed. And they went in to remove it, and my understanding, his body had grown to it. They could not remove the shunt. And so they decided he needed a new shunt, and in the process of putting that in, something happened, and they either stabbed his brain or made an improper incision at his brain, and bleeding progressed, and the young man has been unresponsive. And last I heard yesterday morning that he was able to blink his eyes, not able to speak, not able to tell him what's going on, just blink his eyes and let him know that he was alert. And I'd like for you to pray for a little Micaiah. And I'd like for us to pray that God would touch that young man and that God would touch that family and would help them through these days. I cannot imagine what must be going through that mother and father's mind. But I want to thank God that they were here in the United States when it happened and not way off there in Africa somewhere. I want to thank God that he had his hand upon it and his provision. But I want to pray God touch that young man and help him. Micaiah Ruckman is his name. They're in the state of South Dakota, and he's in a hospital there somewhere, and I don't remember now exactly, but somewhere there around Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so I'd like for you to help us pray for that young man, that God would touch him. And then I've got my friend in Kansas that's got bladder cancer, and want to pray for him. Also, Brother Herford asked us to put a man on the prayer list, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't have his name and don't remember his name, but a man that he knows that's got bladder cancer, just been diagnosed. And then Brother Shelby mentioned a man in his family. And again, I don't have his name in front of me. I know he's a listener to WSWF, but found out he's got cancer on his nose. And we're going to be praying for him about that, that God would touch and intervene and meet these different needs. So all these needs, if you would help us pray that God would touch and help and just meet these needs. And I'm sure that we could name many, many more. But let's just pray for these needs right now, if you would help me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good day we had at the Lord's house yesterday. I want to thank you, Lord, that the reason we had such a good, exciting day in the house of God was because we know thee, Lord, that you've washed us from our sin. You've made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Father, because of that, we have fellowship in our spirit with the Holy Spirit of God. We have fellowship with thee and fellowship with thy Son. And Lord, what a blessing it is. What a privilege it is just to be saved by the grace of God. And because of that, we can open our Bible and you're speaking to us. We can bow on our knees and we can speak to you. Oh my goodness, Lord, what a blessing. I want to give you glory and honor. And I want to thank you, Lord, these troubles that we have that burden our heart, that grip us, Lord, and we think about how much we need some help. Lord, I want to thank you. You're a very present help in time of need. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And there, Lord, we can expect to find grace to help in our time of need. And I just want to say glory, Lord. I want to glorify your name and praise you for being such a good God and making such provisions for thy children and for thy people. I want to thank you for being not just a good God, but a good Father. And Lord, for you being so piteous on your children, you so pitiful towards your children, I believe is the way the scripture talks about it. You've got so much emotion towards your children. You're so good to us, Lord. I glorify and praise your name. Father, I pray now as we bring these needs to you, I do pray for my wife. Lord, you know how much I love her and what a blessing she is to me. And I pray, dear God, you touch her body. You would heal her from these things that the doctors say she has or may have. Lord, I pray that you would help her, that you'd give her the strength she needs. You'd help her to have the health she needs. And God, you'd bless her and bless our work here in Kentucky. Father, I pray you'd bless my mother-in-law and father-in-law while they're with us. Give them safety as they go back and bless them in their health and use them and bless the church they're in, that Vision Baptist Church in Miller's Creek, North Carolina. Bless Brother Gray and the good folk there at Vision. Father, I pray you'd see fit to meet with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church as we gather in on Wednesday. Father, I pray that you would help us that we'd have a good touch of God and the good presence of God with us in the house of God. Lord, I pray that you'd draw sinners, that they might be saved. Saints might be strengthened. The people of God might be revived. And dear God, that thy work might be done. You'd get the glory and the honor. Father, I ask you also that you might help these multiple needs that we mentioned. People with cancer, people with great needs. I think of little Micaiah, and that's just on my mind and on my heart this morning. Lord, would you touch him? Lord, would you raise up that child? He has a heart for God. He was excited about being in South Dakota and serving God there, knowing the difficulties and knowing the chance that something like this could happen there and there'd be no medical attention. Father, I want to thank you that they were here. I want to thank you that he's got the medical attention. But Lord, that our hope is not in them. That is not where our hope lays. Our hope lies in the hand of God. And Father, I pray you touch little Mackay, that you allow that, whatever, that shunt to start working again, or the bleeding that's there to stop. And Lord, that you'd give him grace and goodness. Lord, I pray that you'd send great grace and comfort and help to that mother and father whose hearts are breaking. And Lord, their mind's in a turmoil, no doubt, this morning. I pray, dear Father, that you'd touch them. And Lord, you'd meet their needs and get the glory. Lord, I pray for these men with cancer, bladder cancer, that I mentioned, these two men and the one man with the cancer on his nose. Lord, would you intervene and help them? Father, I pray, dear God, you would save that family that we're praying for, the Cotton family. Lord, you'd save that mother and son. Father, I pray that you'd save others we know about that need to be saved. Those that are listening, would you deal with them through this broadcast? Would you use this broadcast to bring you glory and honor? Father, have your way. Bless in the upcoming marathon. Bless our special services. Help us raise the money we need to raise and accomplish the work we need to do. And Lord, all through it all, I pray you get glory and honor. And I do ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I want to thank the Lord for the privilege to pray. And I am glad, so grateful that we can get a hold of the throne of grace. Amen. I'm glad I never get a busy signal. I never get put on hold. I never get an answering machine. Amen. I'm glad I always get the ear of my Father. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And because we have that confidence, we can know that what we've asked for has not been asked in vain. And I appreciate you praying with us at this time. Where we're going to be looking in the Bible at the book of Job, chapter number 2. And I'm going to have to hurry here, but we've got time. We'll put in a song here by our family that I hope will be a blessing to you. And we'll get right back and read from the book of Job, chapter number 2. Well, amen. I'm glad I have hope in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, we're looking at Job, chapter number 2. I'm preaching today, carrying over the thought from last week. I've entitled my message, Satan's Estimation of Human Nature. And here's what the devil said about Job, and really said it about all mankind. In the book of Job, chapter number 2, verse number 4, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." Now, it looks to me as if Job has been accused of the devil there, and really, as I said, all men then have been accused by the devil of being selfish. He said, you let me get close enough to his life. You let me threaten his life. And in order to try to save his life, he will curse God. He will do whatever I want. He'll give me whatever I want to spare his life. And so, you know the story that God allowed Satan to tempt Job. God allowed Satan to take everything away from Job, killed all of his cattle, killed all of his children, killed or abducted all of his the possessions that he had. He lost it all in one day. He lost it all. And yet Job didn't curse God. Even his wife came and said, curse God and die. But Job didn't curse God. Job maintained his integrity, the Bible said. Amen. And so the devil came a second time, and that's when he made this statement. He said, you've let me do some things, but you've not let me do enough. If you let me get close enough to him, is really what he said. Let me get close enough to him, and he'll curse you to your face. And so God allowed Satan to get a little closer. He wouldn't let him take his life, but he said, you can afflict his body. And so Job had the boils, the Bible said, from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. He's covered in boils, sores, putrefying sores. And then the devil sent quote-unquote friends. We don't need the kind of friends the devil sends, by the way. But the devil sent these friends to Job, and these friends came, and first of all, they just sat there for days and stared at old Job. And then when they finally came to speak to him, instead of speaking words of comfort, they were words of condemnation. They were words of complaint. Actually, they were words that accused Job of being guilty of sin and being guilty of the one that caused all these problems. And yet Job still again maintained his integrity. But the devil was saying about Job, he was saying he's only serving God because God's so good. And by the way, God is so good to his children, and I'm grateful for that. But Job proved that he had more character than the devil would have us believe that he had. Amen. And so I'm trying to deal with this thought, and have been now this past week, and thought I'd finish up Friday but didn't make it, about the fact that there are men, even unregenerate men, that life is not the most important thing. Although life is very important, doesn't it? Should be, by the way. God said, thou shalt not kill. And so that would have us believe that God is interested in life. If I could say it this way, God is pro-life. He's not for the taking of life. He's not for the, I believe God does give, what's the word I'm looking for? God does give permission of governments to take life when life has been taken, for example, of capital crimes. God allows place for capital punishment. But it's interesting to me that the day we're living in, people get all in arms and they say, well, you know, we shouldn't even kill criminals, and yet they're wanting to kill babies. We ought to save the whale, but we ought to kill babies. We ought to save the snail, but we ought to kill babies. I'm telling you, we're in a messed up, mixed up world. But God's for pro-life. Life is important to us. It should be. But there have been men through history that unsaved men, that life was not the most important thing to them. Many times men have, for the sake of adventure, they've gone out and risked their life to be able to climb some mountain. You see them all the time scaling some cliff just for the thrill of the accomplishment of doing such a thing. And yet, they're risking their life. But men that have not only for some adventurous thing, maybe some for some advantageous thing, some good thing, men would risk their life. For example, we're coming up on Veterans Day. Men that have risked their life to keep us safe. Amen. Men, and I'll say it this far, such as firemen that risk their life to rescue people from burning buildings, such as policemen that every day put their life on the line, that we might have safe streets, that we might have safe highways. And people say, well, but we don't have safe streets and we don't have safe highways. No, that's because crime is so high and so prevalent. But if we could, we ought to honor those men that get up every morning and put on the uniform to keep us safe. Amen. But I'm going on about the veterans now, not just a policeman and a fireman, but I'm talking about the military men. Many of them, they haven't fought on foreign shores, and I'm grateful that they haven't had to, but many of them have. But even those that haven't have been prepared to do that and have been willing to do that because they know how important life is. Now, I see I'm running out of time. I don't have time even to get into my point today. I'll try to get there tomorrow. But just let me make this point, if you'll bear with me. Let me make this point. Why is life precious? I'm going to tell you why life's precious. Because this is the dressing room for eternity. This is the dressing room for eternity. This is the decision place of where you're going to spend eternity. You're standing at a fork in the road. This life is the fork in the road. And the next life is heaven or hell. This life is the only time you've got to make your decision and to make your reservation for where you're going to spend eternity. Amen. Friend, Jesus Christ died that sinners might be saved. We don't have to go to hell. Hell was not created for man, but was created for the devil and his angels. But all those who will not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who will not repent of their sin and believe on the Lord, go to hell. So, friend, I'm asking you today, which way are you going to go? Life's important. The decision's yours. Are you going to turn to Christ, or are you going to go your own way? Are you going to go that narrow way, or are you going to go the broad way that leads to destruction?